You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Today on Lulz, we got a bunch of scandals. That's what we do around here. We have the Ohtani news that recently broke. We'll try to get to the bottom of what's going on there with his interpreter and a missing $5 million. We also had an interesting report from Arif Hassan about the Draft Network that is going viral on NFL Twitter. A lot of seedy stuff going on around there. And of course, Brian has some wild Kate Middleton conspiracies he wants to get into. It's Lulz with Pete and Brick. Let's go.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Right, Brian. I mean, AJ wants to get right down to brass tacks. Are you the person who photoshopped the Kate Middleton photo?
It's clearly MI6.
have you followed that at all?
I don't know what like where this came from you, but believe it or not, I have.
Okay. It's our beat around here to cover scandals in the sports and fantasy space. Like if we were really trying to get views and grow, we would just be very closely covering the Kate Middleton because this is the number one conspiracy in the world right now.
Yeah, I had like a joke tweet about it the other day and I'm like, I don't think enough people are paying attention to the Kate Middleton drama to make this tweet.
My thing was like, it is obviously so shady, the comms and also the photo and the stuff, but the most recent one where they were spotted coming out from the market, like, would they be so brazen to do a body double, like in that context? Wouldn't they want to keep like shadow moving her around from the hospital home and not show her in public? They're like, we'll just let her waltz out there. That seems a little too ridiculous.
I don't get it at all. Like, why not just... I understand like you don't want to like encourage like this behavior, but then there's also comes a point where you're just like, just waltz her out for a 5-minute interview.
Yeah. Wait, why can't I'm blanking. Who was it? Oh, it was like the DeMar Hamlin stuff where they were like, you got to put him up there and just wave because there were so many people that was like, right. DeMar Hamlin died on the field and this is a body double back here. It's like, sometimes you just got to throw the people some red meat and waltz her out there for an interview.
Right. Right. Yeah. Even the NFL gets it, you know, which if they're figuring it out, you know, the British government should be able to pull it off. Ashton has the bit for sure. It's if you know, I thought Kate Middleton disappearing was bad. How about my NBA lineups with Chris Middleton last night?
Oh, there we go. I didn't even catch that. I missed the Chris as I was reading that comment too quickly. It's funny, man. Like I watched like one Kate Middleton video on TikTok and now the algorithm, like whenever I log on there, will just give me exclusively, you know, Kate Middleton conspiracies. The new one is someone is like, you know, she had apparently, you know, pretty serious abdominal surgery when she was in the hospital, I guess is what they're saying. And then this person is like, but that video where she's exiting the farmer's market or whatever, she's holding a bag. And they're like, you would never have someone that just had abdominal surgery holding a bag like that, that could be putting extra stress on her abdomen, which proves that it's not actually Kate Middleton right there.
I saw a zoomed in photo of that person. It did not look like Kate Middleton to me.
Well, okay. I can't believe I'm going to have to be the one like trying to tamper down the flames of conspiracy here, but wasn't she in the hospital and pretty sick? Like, isn't there a chance she was malnourished, lost a lot of weight, doesn't look like she did before?
I don't know. I don't know, but that ain't Kate Middleton. Let me see if I can find the photo I saw.
Yeah, I'm sure I can find it. I'll pull it up here for our video watchers here. Yeah, I just found one on Twitter. Compliments of Piers Morgan here. Let me see. One sec. This one?
Yeah, there's a zoomed in one too, but yeah. Right there, that's definitely not her.
You really think, like, why would you even attempt this? Why would you, or you're saying this is how they're trying to say, like, look, we're good now. This is Kate.
I think that's what the people are claiming they're trying to do. Yeah.
I also like that you're such an expert on who Kate Middleton is that you're like, oh, this is not Kate Middleton.
Yes. Yeah, I am.
It's also bizarre too, because, you know, she was in the hospital for a while, and the video I watched somewhere said that William only visited her once in the hospital, which I guess would like check out if they're on the verge of a divorce. There's all the rumors about him having his mistress and all of that stuff. But it seems weird if it's like, hey, your ailing wife, you're not going to go visit her at all, but now you guys are just doing a stroll to the farmer's market. Like, that seems like things are going pretty good if you guys are doing a date to the farmer's market. You didn't want to just send someone out there to go pick up your dairy products for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's also like, it's not, you know, 1965 anymore where like, who cares if they're getting divorced? Who cares?
Right.
Like they're you know, like Harry already left the country, you know what I mean? Like, and they disassociated with them. No one cares. And, you know, like, I don't know, like, that's what they were like. That's, I think they're trying to claim like that type of thing. But like, I don't think anyone cares anymore.
They don't. But that's like the whole royal family's entire thing is like continuing that this like decorum and their like version of a class system and this monarchy, like all matters and is still real and can exist in this version of society. And everyone else is like, we don't give a shit. Like, you're just tabloid father. But they're like, no, we still do things in this very proper way.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like we cannot let the public know that.
Yeah.
The princess is hurt. You know, or who knows what they're doing. I don't know why they don't, like, at this point, it's been long enough where they should pull Hamlin and just let her go out and wave for long enough where it's like, oh, okay, that's her.
I think they should have, when they had the initial Photoshop scandal of the photo with Kate and the kids, they should have just come out like the royal family and said, hey, look, one of our social media interns got a hold of one of these new AI generating photo softwares, was having a ton of fun, and he accidentally uploaded one of his private files instead of the actual photo. Like, that would have been a very easy out of like, hey man, we've just been experimenting with some of this new AI software.
I mean, how easy is it nowadays too to do that? Just like, yeah. First you put your, that you just laid out a perfect, you see, you should be hired by MI6, Pete. Like, do the AI first. And if you get caught, say somebody else did it. Yeah. And it was AI, you know, but if it passes as real AI, you know, as real and not AI, you got away with it. Like, there's going to be so much in the next year and a half, 2 years, so much AI stuff going on.
The way they're handling it is so like painfully obvious that something weird is going on, or it's like they're doing like the PR equivalent of like a kid who's like reading a Playboy magazine and their mom comes in and he starts like flailing around the room and is like trying to pick up the mattress and stuffing it under there, and some of the pages are still showing, and it's like, dude, you could just play it cool and say like, mom, kid gave me this to at school. I don't think it's very good. What do you think we should do with this? And then you're like, good. But they're like, no, I got to make a big deal out of it.
right. Yeah. I mean, the thing to do is just own it. Own that shit. But they're dropping the ball on this one. I don't know. I don't know what's happening to poor Kate, but.
I think you guys should get used to this. Once the edge fully dries up in DFS and, all the money goes away, Brian and I are going to be forced to just become a full-on, like, Page Six gossip rack.
Yeah, a monarchy gossip show.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice, though, too, because it gives us, this is the – how many things – I guess your mom watches LOLs, but the number of things that we cover on LOLs that I'd be able to discuss with my mom, there's not much in that Venn diagram, but a little Kate Middleton – now we got something to work with.
I posted our female listenership on Twitter there.
Did you?
Yes. And I was shocked it was that high. And I'm not sure any fantasy show has broken the 5% barrier, the glass ceiling.
Okay. You're right. Because if I go in my YouTube analytics, I'm sub 1%. For my stuff. And we have 5% here on via our podcast app. So does that, but that would probably, I guess I would have to get granular with all our LOL's YouTube data, but it would be interesting if the majority of our female consumers listened via audio form, that they preferred audio relative to the men.
If it look, it appears that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if, and again, I think that is a record for all of gambling in sports and fantasy podcast history. No one's ever broken the 5% barrier.
I think we should put that out as a challenge. Can you beat this? Can you beat our 5% here? Post it on Twitter. Let us know. Because until you do, we are the most gender inclusive and just most welcoming show within the entire industry, I think.
Right. That's what happens when you fight toxicity for as long as we have.
Yeah,
becomes more welcoming to the other gender. What would you think Levitans is like 1%?
Do you think he gets? It has to be really low, but I wonder like if he's over the years picked up some steam where it's like, I'm sure at some point I've told Lauren about like a ridiculous question he got asked on the solo pod, and I do know for a 100% guarantee that Lauren has never downloaded it to like listen herself, but I wonder if there's been enough crossover of women being like, hey, I'm going to go check this out. He also did the episode with Ashley Jennings, Peter Jennings' wife. And I know that might've garnered some interest. Maybe some wives and girlfriends would have wanted to tune into that. So maybe just a little bit there.
That's true. Yeah. I think that raises him up from like 0.5 to 1% probably.
Yeah.
I just asked Davis, I DM Davis to see what his is.
The Tate cast, man. Yeah,
it's dramatic.
Yeah. Davis said he got, some guys, I told this story on, Best Ball Breakfast. A guy came up to me. We took April to a park on Sunday, and a guy came up to me and referenced the cash game bit. A guy I'd never seen in my life came up and said hi to me. Was familiar with the Cash Game King. Davis said he got recognized the other day at the gym. And I'll tell you what, barely get recognized. And when I do, it's never been by a female. That's some strong evidence right there.
Yeah. I imagine.
So the other big international scandal going on that just recently broke or is still kind of currently unfolding is this Ohtani stuff with his interpreter. Brian, I can pull up the article here so we can kind of try to piece this together, but as you understand it, what are the very high level cliff notes here?
His interpreter was raided by the FBI for some sort of gambling with a bookmaker, not a legal book. And through that process, one of the checks that was paid to the bookmaker, $500,000, was Ohtani's name was on it. And so the interpreter was fired, and he was saying that it's all 100% him. who racked up $4.5 million or something in debt to a bookmaker, and he didn't understand that that was illegal, which, whatever, fine, fair enough. You know, he's not from America, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So the obvious question that seems to be around the internet is, how did some interpreter who's probably making 150K a year, maybe, rack up $4.5 million in sports betting debts? And did Ohtani pay off all of it?
Well,
I'm not sure. I think I saw in one article he did, but maybe I misread that.
Yeah. It is. First of all, I don't want to get bogged down. I would take the over on that salary. I bet Ohtani. It sounds like these guys are really close. I bet Ohtani's taking pretty good care of him.
It says he was employed by the Angels, though.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that means they pay his salary, but it might be over 150. I'm not disputing that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Then I guess I would have. Do you think then the Angels were the one who brought him to Ohtani and said, "Hey, we have this guy. We've hired him to be your interpreter." Or is this a guy that Ohtani brought over on his own?
Ohtani brought over on his own.
Yeah,
but he was still paid by the Angels. No Botox says three. He was paid 300, 400K. I could believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. 300, 400K. Still not enough to rack up $5 million in gambling debts.
Yeah, he's got to live in LA and travel 200 days a year.
Brian, that's like 300K a year. That's like two trips to Whole Foods. I mean, come on. Let's see here. So the timeline in this article, this 2 days ago, ESPN gets wind of this. A spokesman tells ESPN that Ohtani transferred the funds to cover Mizuhara's gambling debt.
As one does, Pete.
Yeah. I mean, got to look out for your bros, especially ones who have been translating for you. He does a 90-minute interview in which he lays out the supposed story. A 90-minute interview is wild. Obviously, Ohtani wasn't happy about it and said he would help me out to make sure I never do this again. He decided to pay it off for me. I want everyone to know Ohtani had zero involvement in betting. I want people to know I did not know this was illegal. I learned my lesson the hard way. I will never do sports betting ever again. God, that seems like the lady doth protest a little too much.
And also, I wouldn't call it the hard way. I would call that like the pretty easy way. Like somebody paid your debt for you and all you got was fired. The hard way would be prison time. But
ask Tom Dwan the hard way, buddy.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Publicly shamed. I don't know. What does chat feel like? Does anyone buy this guy's story?
Yeah, let us know what you think. I'll read some of this other blow-by-blow events that happened. All of this was yesterday. Ohtani helps the Dodgers win. An ESPN reporter asked Ohtani Camp about Missouri's allegation that he was present and helped move the funds and that he was going to be paid back. Ohtani spokesman contacts Ohtani's attorney, then disavows that account. I would have also assumed that, like, Ohtani's running a pretty tight ship with his attorney, with his spokesman, with his PR people, that they would all be like providing a united front. It feels interesting that they're like siloed in a way, that the spokesman and the attorney aren't collaborating on this.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't know that he's saying he didn't, it's massive theft now. I didn't see that.
Yeah, so Ohtani's attorneys at Burke Brettler LLP, congrats on the exposure here. In the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we are turning the matter over to authorities. So they're now pivoting course of saying, like, hey, the translator was like, no, it's all good. Ohtani, I got into some trouble, and Ohtani's like, hey, get out of jail free card, I'll pay your debts. And now the attorneys are coming back and saying, no, this money was stolen from Ohtani. Then this interpreter agrees to another interview with ESPN, but says he was told he could not comment when asked if he has been accused of theft, which I don't think they want to talk to you if you're not going to talk about that. He declines to say who told him that. He then recants his entire story, claiming that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling activities or debts, and that Ohtani did not make the wire transfers.
Wow. That I didn't see that last part.
And then this part, and then he's fired.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely wild.
Huh. I wonder if they're like, he got in, you know, with his lawyers, and they're like, you know what, if this guy's going to say whatever you want, tell him he stole it from you.
Right. Yeah. It just seems to me, again, with what a major international athlete Otani is, that they would not have had a better war room to discuss how this was going to go down with the interpreter. You have the lawyers in there. This is the plan. This is how we are going to mitigate this scandal. And it seems like everyone was just fucking firing from the hip. And this translator's like, hey, ESPN, get me on First Take. I'm ready to talk to Skip Bayless about this right now.
Yeah. I'm not thinking ESPN is like, you know, some cross-examiner anyways. I think they're all basically in cahoots to, they want MLB to succeed. And, you know, Otani, the better Otani and MLB does, the better ESPN does. So yeah. I don't think they were probably just like, wow, this idiot's just telling us all this stuff. I gotta like, you know, press play and here's what he said.
Yeah.
Actually, and they pretty much did, Pete, right? Like the articles I was all reading before this, he changed course. They didn't really dig into Otani at all. They was just like, here's what the guy said. He said he did it. Otani wrote one check for him to pay off his debt. He's never going to do it again. They didn't go into any speculation like they would if, like, it was someone they hated. You know what I mean? Like Lance Armstrong or something. They would have went down fire.
Well, it's fascinating, too, because you think about how this interpreter, and obviously that this is unique to an international star who doesn't speak English, right? Like if you were trying to think of the ultimate fall guy for something like this, like if it's some other, you know, Mike Trout, I mean, like who's Mike Trout's fall guy? If he's the one that is trying to illegally gamble on sports and then needs a really good scapegoat, it just like, it's almost too perfect to have someone like this that you are like intimately familiar with because they are your vehicle for communication. It's just, it seems too convenient that it just so happened to be your interpreter had a gambling problem.
Yes. Yes. It's, I don't know. I'm not buying it.
No Bosak says definitely feels like this guy was just a bridge for Otani to make the bets without anyone knowing, though the direct payments seem really dumb. If that's the case, Otani's camp completely changed the story after the 90-minute ESPN interview. That's the really fishy stuff that they immediately pivoted course.
It had to be that he made that direct payment and they're like, we gotta do something here.
Yeah.
Man. The problem is now this guy, his interpreter, goes from just being fired to now wire fraud and a long jail sentence.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, it's not a perfect comp, obviously, but it's kind of like the Mickelson Billy Walters stuff, right? Where Billy Walters, because Otani like can't clear his name because the ramifications for him getting busted are far bigger, that like some head is going to have to roll. Some guy's going to have to fall on the sword. In that case, it was Billy Walters. In this case, it's going to be the interpreter.
Otani turns in Bob Vulgaris to get out of it.
Man, what do you think? If we do, did anyone have details on the exact kind of wagers? Do we know what sports? Do we know what kind of bets were being made as part of this debt?
Yeah, I didn't see anything. Anyone in chat? Because obviously the big boy would be baseball.
Yes, of course.
Especially because even if this guy's story is true, either one of them, he was employed by, you know, the Angels. And so that would be a big no-no.
Yeah. This is soccer. Is Otani a big soccer fan? I saw him at the he attended a Los Angeles Rams game. I believe he was hanging out with Puka Nacua.
You gotta have a little sweat on the game when you're going. You can't blame Otani for that.
You gotta get a little sweat there.
You're going live. That should be, if he's going live, he should be allowed to, you know.
Yeah. The we got sacrilegious. We need Derek, of course, the NFFC guy, Otani and parlay picker, who I actually haven't gotten a chance to read that article yet, but sacrilegious says we need them all in a high stakes three man. Did you see apparently he did a big interview with The Athletic. Did you see that?
I don't have a subscription, so I only read like the beginning a little bit.
I'll just pull up the title because I was just laughing because we're in a meta right now for these scammers where you just blame the demon. That's kind of how you get out of this. The title of this story, Feeding the Demon Inside, ex-employee tells how and why he stole $22 million from the Jags. And now I just kind of want to control F demon, but there's a mental demon inside.
Just twice.
They're battling a secret addiction that no one knew about, the demon. So that I'm filing that away, Brian. If I ever get in trouble, I am blaming the demon inside.
Pete, I would hire an interpreter tonight. You get just double your outs. You know, the demon interpreter, you could pretty much get away with anything.
That's actually, you're right, because you create a buffer. You say, not only is this not my demon, it's my interpreter's demon. Now you're two steps removed.
Yeah. Don't you want to help this person with this horrible demon inside him? The other angle here is, in both of these is similar, is they got lawyers chirping in their ears going, listen, what's his name? Patel or something? Yeah, Patel.
Yeah.
If you say you're fucked, you're going to jail. But if we play the you're a complete addict in sports betting is, you know, this horrible thing that controlled you, we might be able to cut your prison time by X.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's nothing. I guarantee. I have no idea. This is all speculation, but I guarantee that that conversation is exactly what happened. Now, if I was on the prosecuting lawyer side, I'd be like, okay, if you had a demon, then why are you buying houses and cars and golf trips and et cetera, right, et cetera, et cetera? Because that money, your demon would want to spend that money on gambling.
Yeah, and I hadn't read this yet, but I'm just kind of like skimming through it right now. And he is like clearly advised by his lawyer to play up the gambling addiction. They just give you this illusion that you're winning because they're just making so much money off of you that they need to keep you happy and keep you gambling. Not everyone will get addicted to gambling, but everyone can get addicted. I mean, it could be true, obviously, for him, but it's also a very it's the easy layup from a defense angle.
I think the defense to reduce the sentence. He's not getting clear. And I bet it works a little bit. They'll do, if you go to these gambling, Gamble Anonymous courses in prison for a year, we'll reduce 2 years of your sentence, you know, shit like that. So I think that's his only out. And, you know, I guess it's possible he's also addicted to gambling too, but I don't know. And he blames, you know, they try to keep you winning. It's like DraftKings was the one that turned him in.
Right.
So, yeah, sure. Maybe they're trying to keep you winning, I guess. But, like, they're also the ones who stopped letting you deposit and probably contacted the Jaguars and go, hey, your employees donating money here. Maybe you want to look into this.
This is a pretty reasonable payment plan after stealing $20. It says he's going to continue treatment while incarcerated. He's set to begin his sentence in 90 days. When he gets out, he'll be put on a payment plan, $250 a month, directed to the Jaguars. Don't you think that should be like almost, instead of a flat number, shouldn't it be proportional to however much money he's making?
Don't you think that's got to be in there somewhere? Like if he ever somehow
selling houses, like a real estate, and he's making $100,000, $200,000 a year, and he's only having to pay $250 back a month.
Right, exactly. Or, well, like it's kind of like if he sells his book and it becomes a big movie and he gets $20 million in real royalties, right, or something, like that's got to go back to the Jaguars. You know, that's what happened with the Wolf of Wall Street guy. So I imagine the same thing would probably happen here.
Yeah, man. I just imagine who's receiving that check on the Jags each other. He's like, we got our $250.
$250, everyone.
Gee, you're totally right. Like this is absolutely something that Netflix would make one of those documentaries about, that should be like a 70-minute documentary that they turn into a 4-episode miniseries on. I can already see it.
Yeah, it's it's possible. It needs a little more juice, but you never know. I doubt, you know, it's going to blow up to like Wolf of Wall Street money where the Jags would actually realistically get their money back.
There's some other, you know, because everyone, all the quotes too from the people in the DFS scene were about how bad he was, you know, in that initial ESPN article. I think it was Seminole who said that. Everyone's like, you know, licking their chops whenever they were. I love this line here. He bristled at the suggestion that he was a neophyte and historically bad gambler, as one report suggested. Man, that is so reflective of like the human experience. Like, you were going down, you were caught red-handed, and you still try to save a little face of like, I wasn't an idiot gambler. I wasn't punting it off in those three mans. I was using good projections. Like, the hubris to still want to get that takeoff when that's the least important thing going on here is wild.
Man, so he's like, I'm addicted, but I'm still sharp.
Exactly.
All right.
Like, wouldn't the defense be like, no, dude, just say you were like donking it off. The demon made you do it. There was no thought going into it. And he's like, no, man, I had the good stuff, man. I was running my own sims.
Listen, you don't understand like the variance, the injuries and variance and everything that I went through. And don't forget the demon.
Yeah.
To reduce my sentence. But I got screwed. You know, if you were the Jaguars or just like a, you know, anything like this, this one's a little egregious because of the amount of money. But if it was something more like $500,000, like, wouldn't you like just say, don't send this guy to jail. Just put him on an ankle monitor and get a real job. I'm sure he's educated and could get a real job, and give me half his salary for the next 5 years, 10 years, and give me my money back.
Right.
Is it like, doesn't that make way more sense? This is so much money. Like, it just feels like prison time for this guy is like super cruel and unusual. I know he did a really bad thing, but like, I mean, it's just, I mean, the money's so much, like paying $250 back a month is like,
it's hilarious. Like, how is that? How is it not 25% of your monthly income?
Right. It's just, if it wasn't such a high number, he just went insane. If it was, you know, 300, 400, 500,000, like, just have the guy go get an accounting job somewhere.
Yeah.
And just pay off his debt. And then if he continues to do stuff like this, yeah, lock him up. But
Hired, you know, how, you know, companies and software companies will hire hackers, you know, to help spot and shore up their vulnerabilities. It's like NFL franchises bring this guy around and be like, if you were trying to sneak $20 million out of our credit card system, how would you do it? Can you help us tighten it up? He could be a consultant to other NFL teams.
Is that the catch me if you can plot?
I think so. It is. This guy does seem like a hilarious individual. On top of that, he was bothered by news accounts that only one person attended his plea hearing. He told friends and family not to attend. He said, this is like Donald Trump. Like, Donald Trump would be, you know, getting the electric chair and he'd be like, they said there was only 40 people. There was hundreds watching me get electrocuted. Like, who cares?
I'll take the most amps. I had the most people defending me.
No. I told them not to come. It's like, well, the news account was that only one person attended. You saying that you told people not to attend corroborates that thing that there weren't that many people there. What are you trying to say?
I love that they put bristled and then bothered. Like, he's clearly stewing, you know, he's like, this guy's going to jail for a long time. He's fucked forever. Listen, I was sharp. First of all, let's get that right. And I have tons of friends. Okay. I told him not to come.
Yeah. Patel bristled that he had to pay $250 a month. He was trying to push for only $225 upon accident. Right. Oh man. Well, this is good for him getting his full profile here in the Athletic. What a wild ride for Mr. Patel. The other thing, I know you didn't get a chance to read it, but have you seen what was going on with this Draft Network story that Arif Hassan published the other day?
I did. I looked into it a bit.
Yeah. Had you ever heard of the Draft Network before this story?
I want to say I did, but I just like can't ever remember using that site.
Yeah. I mean, I remember around the draft, obviously, I've seen their stuff pop up and some of their clips go go social or viral. But yeah, I hadn't seen or heard about them recently. But Arif is a fabulous writer and a terrific reporter. Even his hook here is incredible. What happened to the Draft Network? Over the past 3 months, I talked to a dozen current and former employees and vendors, poured over court docs and combed through archives, learned about Brazilian tech firms, $1 million in unpaid dues, and something called the Porn House here. And there was another, this was the hook that got me. This was a quote from someone. Have you ever seen the Hulu series, The Dropout, Elizabeth Holmes, Theranos? She's running a Fugazi company. That is what I compare Paige DeMicos to, who is running the Draft Network. I think she's genuinely a crook. And a lot of the most unfavorable quotes all have to do with this Paige character.
That I did read, yeah. So the Theranos woman, she had that device that was, I think, for like diabetes or some blood test that like barely pricked the skin, and got a whole bunch of VCs to invest in this like completely fraudulent.
She was like a legit like psychopath, and she filled the void of, you know, everyone wants to deify these entrepreneurs and tech guys. And she was the big female one. And she even did this thing where she like modulated her voice so it sounded deeper, as an affect that she was intentional about. And her old friends are like, you don't even sound like this. Like, what are you doing? But she was literally like the epitome of fake it till you make it. She just exuded confidence and was able to sell investors over and over again. I'd never heard of this lady Paige DeMicos. Had you?
No. I love that. It's very similar to that Theranos woman, because she would wear the Steve Jobs outfits. This girl's kind of got, you know, like, oh, I'm a sporty fantasy girl, you know?
Yeah. See, Brian, this is us again servicing our 5% female audio listeners.
That's why we're so Davis did DM me, says less than 1%.
There you go. There you go. I could just pull a few of these other quotes. There's lots of stuff from former employees. The tendency to silo and gaslight had been noted by other former employees that spoke to Wide Left. One employee explained that she had been asked by DeMicos to flirt with quarterback prospects to secure exclusive interviews. She refused. In spite of her refusal, other employees explained that DeMicos had privately disparaged that employee for flirting with players. And then this was a funny one here. Employees had begun picking up on DeMicos' tendency to overpromise and underdeliver. In some instances, she would oversell her connections around the league. During the 2021 draft, she confidently told employees that the Bengals had already locked in Penei Sewell. Spoiler alert, they did not take him over Ja'Marr Chase, who, spoiler alert, they did take there. Let's see.
I don't even know who that Penei Sewell is.
Well, there was a huge debate heading into that draft, because they're like, Do you get Ja'Marr Chase, generational wide receiver, a weapon, or do you get someone to protect Joe Burrow? Because he was coming off a season, lots of sacks, and they're like, hey, this is our franchise guy, got to keep him upright. And everyone's like, just protect this man, get Penei Sewell at all costs. And they, of course, went with the wide receiver. This was one of the more wild quotes in here, too. There was even a moment of alarm when Willis expressed he had to go to the bathroom. We were like, we'll walk you there, said one employee. We were afraid he would open the wrong door and find all of these sex toys in the draft house.
What the hell is going on at this place?
Well, it's funny, too, because one I actually want to hear. I don't know if Josh Norris has tweeted about this, but I don't know if you remember when Josh Norris had his like the best all-time mock draft of, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, he set like the record for most accurate picks, but he was doing some radio hits at the draft house with the Draft Network. And they basically had like this kind of like bar vibe and all these cameras, and they were like live streaming during the NFL draft and had all of their analysts and stuff there, but it like looked like a cool space. It was like a studio slash like U-shaped bar element. And so clearly there were other things going on at this spot beyond just draft analysis.
Yeah, it appears so. I imagine this company's ratio would be similar to our listener ratio.
Yes. Doesn't sound that fun. Another one. It's unclear what happened to the office chairs after the trip, given how difficult they are to move across large distances. It could be the case that there is now an adult film studio with a fully functioning conference room. So that's one way to repurpose your draft studio space in the off season when there's not as many prospects to talk about.
Okay. I mean, you gotta save money whenever you can.
So there you go, Brian. I think, the other things people were joking about, the opening sentence here, from 2011 to 2014, a loose network of young draft enthusiasts known as Draft Twitter emerged from the online football space. And someone's like, this is how you know it is going to end very poorly. A loose network of young draft enthusiasts from Draft Twitter. Yeah.
Nothing good has ever happened with a loose network of young draft enthusiasts.
Well, it's like, would that be, everyone talks about the, Pat Mayo's. I mean, Pat Mayo's idea that I clipped as a short where he's like, I will have a bunch of DFS pros train these hot babes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, we need to steer away from any kind of frat like behavior where you take these Neanderthals online and then allow them to have, essentially a frat house IRL to do whatever they want.
I think he's hoping that drama occurs from that sort of dynamic, Pete.
That's his million-dollar idea, is to eventually be frisked in an expose by Arif Hassan, about 5,000 words about how it all went wrong for Pat Mayo's DFS babe draft.
Oh, God. Pat has to blame it on his gambling addiction.
Oh, man. No, would it be cussed? Would Cuss be the fall guy?
Yeah, that's his interpreter.
Yeah. Feel free to use this, Pat. Feel free to use this.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
He will. Brian, is your bracket busted yet?
Yeah, this is the first year in a long time I didn't fill out one bracket.
Wow.
Did you fill any out?
I did. We ran one in the Deposit Kingdom, kicked in summer awards, Run the Sims, or prizes, I should say. Run the Sims is going to give out some free subs to some of the winners. But yeah, someone was asking about our LOL show, and I was thinking about it because we did it a few years ago, but that was back when we were recording on Wednesdays. So that was before the NFL or the tournament kicked off on Thursday, whereas this year it had already kicked off. So us doing, a game theory bracket show wouldn't have made much sense.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't know why none just popped up that I wanted to do. I should have done one.
I thought the show we did a couple of years ago, and I know more and more of this analysis is out there now, but it is fun, right? Where it's like you can essentially, in the same way when you're looking at a DFS play projection versus ownership projection, and then building through there. And it's like which teams are overowned based on the ESPN public available pick data relative to their actual whatever KenPom odds of advancing, and then building like a GTO optimal bracket for large field contests. Like, I find that stuff to be pretty fun.
Yeah, that's true. I built one too. This is all flooding back to me. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I probably still have that somewhere.
I think like that was probably 2 or 3 years ago. And now I feel like this year I saw way more of that kind of stuff and people starting to leverage that public pick data a little bit more.
Yeah. I bet there's more tools out there now. I bet some sites might even have it. I mean, you can get pretty good ownership projections.
Yeah.
Just from the public available data.
Well, if you think about it, right, it's like even for a DFS contest, you could have 100,000 entries. Like, that's a pretty nice sample there, but I mean, millions of people, put brackets in here. Like, the sample size you're getting there as far as a gauge for public sentiment is pretty damn good.
Yeah. And they're updating it all the time. So
yeah,
it should be fairly close to your home league with like your regional biases in there and stuff like that. But yeah,
I have so many things these days that make me feel old, but one of them just being like, I was trying to piece it out. And it was like from 1995, like when I was a kid and discovered March Madness, to 2005, like right through like my freshman year of college. Cause I remember my college buddies like weren't super into it. And I like showed them how to experience March Madness and got the brackets. And it was like, we'll order pizza and like ditch class right. and I'll post up at noon on Thursday and drink beers and all that. And for that period, like just, it was always my favorite sporting event of the year. And now I'll be lucky if I catch a game or two this entire March Madness.
Not me, Pete. My buddy's coming over here in a few hours.
Are you? You're living my tomorrow, dream?
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to get up. He's going to stay over. And tomorrow we're going to get up. A couple other people are coming.
You're having a sleepover? You're having a March Madness sleepover?
Yep.
I'm so jealous. I'll
be toasty tomorrow by 3 o'clock, if that.
You going to be firing off some bets here on the old app? We're going to
fire off some bets that have no expected value whatsoever. Completely donkey bets, and then act like super fans at the bar, even though we don't really care.
Wow, why didn't I get an invite for this?
Well, you're a little far away, but
March Madness. Yeah,
if you want, you're welcome. I just figured kind of far away.
You know what? This would have logistically it would have been bad. This is actually Lauren's on a work trip, so I'm holding down the fort tonight with me and April. So that would have not worked out too well. No. I think if I brought a 15-month-old to crash the March Madness sleepover, it might not have turned.
Can she pick winners?
She can't. Oh yeah.
Okay. Well then that's not going to help.
This is a good clarification, Brian. Will it be you or your interpreter making the bets?
My interpreter will be making the bets completely. And if any of them were in my name, they were stolen. DraftKings should refund the losers because of this.
Yeah. There was some, more Haralabob was talking about, problem gambling recently. And I believe what it stemmed from was that, did you see the post about the NBA, like within their app, just their generic NBA app for watching games was going to start showing gambling odds alongside of it? I believe that was the impetus for all of that. I'll pull this up.
Was it? Cause I retweeted him when he first started and I don't remember if that was in there or not.
Yeah, because I saw this tweet going around a bunch from Joe Pomp here, one of the Pomp brothers. The NBA is adding live betting to NBA League Pass. Viewers will be able to see betting lines on the screen in real time, select the bet they want to place, and then be taken directly to FanDuel or DraftKings to place it. It feels like every league will do this in the future. And there was a lot of dust up about this, bringing betting even more to the forefront. People, I saw lots of comments about, you're watching with your kids or your teenagers watching it here, and this is how they're being introduced to gambling, and it's creating a culture of being unable to watch and enjoy sports without gambling becoming an appendage of that.
Yeah, well, this is kind of what we always wanted, gambling in intermixed with the broadcast. I mean, speaking of Pat Mayo, we talked about it on his show and this show a bunch of times. I think you can easily just put, as the adult would be the owner of the account, and I'm assuming you should be able to have like an option of whether that wants to be shown or not.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so that would be a toggle.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see any big issue with it at all. The idea like of that Bob's kind of putting out there like that. I feel like it's kind of just like gambling's bad for society.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like I think that's a real, I mean, that's really why gambling has the negative, associations that it has is because it's been outlawed for so long in most jurisdictions in the country, because traditionally they shared that kind of view. And he goes on here when people quote tweet him and stuff about like his stance is really just, he thinks there should be no marketing or limited marketing.
Yeah.
And he said somewhere else too, credit cards should be illegal. And yeah. I think in England, credit cards, I don't think you can use credit cards to gamble.
Yeah.
And I see some people say they don't advertise, but man, when I turn on a soccer game, I see Bet365 everywhere.
Oh yeah.
So like they're definitely marketing in England, and and England and many other countries have had gambling for a long time.
Yeah.
So, like, why would America be any different?
Did you see Strasser's comment? I thought his stuff, I thought he made some good points in his quote tweet.
Yeah, it did.
I'll read it real quick. He said, after seeing the absurdities of UEFA and the mess that followed, it's hard for me to root for lawmakers to make gambling harder. I support every law that makes gambling all kinds easier. The more that people have to gamble in the shadows, the more bullshit that happens. It's better for everyone when it's all above board, regulated, and taxed, which sounds like a very familiar refrain you've made about sports betting legislation before.
Yeah. And I mean, as being right in that period that he's talking about, when poker got banned, it was a shit show. It was a real shit show afterwards. And one of the reasons I stopped entirely is just like, this is just not worth it. And before that, when they banned a lot of payment processors for sports betting, was the first ban hammer in 2006. Then and that also became a shit show where you'd get ripped off much more easily across the board.
Yeah. He goes on to say, personally, don't mind people learning about gambling at a young age in a safe environment. You're going to grow up in a world with all sorts of legal and illegal temptations. Part of growing up is navigating this part of the world. Understanding the pitfalls of gambling early in life makes sense to me. That being said, I am worried that not all parents are ready for the new realities of parenting. It extends beyond sports betting, crypto, options trading, stocks, all amplified by fake influencers on social media, glorifying all of it. Shout out Davis Matic there. And also glorifying making money. It's a new reality. Parents are aware of youth drinking risks, for example, but many are not ready for watching for problem signs of gambling.
I talked about this a little bit on Neil. I did Neil's podcast yesterday. And the idea of like that people aren't aware of problem gambling. I know that's not specifically what he's saying here. He's saying the signs of problem gambling. I think it's like laughable, like definitely the vast majority of adults and young adults are aware of problem gambling. Give me a break. Like everyone knows what problem gambling is. Like, and there's 1-800 gambler everywhere and hotlines and casinos and phones and legislation. And it's been illegal forever. Like people are afraid to bet. People are still afraid to bet even with a legal environment. Like everyone fucking knows that.
Yeah, I think maybe what he, you know, if I were to agree with him, it would be along the lines of stuff, other types of addictive behavior or things that youth would traditionally struggle with, say like drinking and drugs, like that has been so normalized as an issue. It's like parents are like, oh, my kid's doing drugs. I've heard about that from a million different people. I've seen it in TVs. I've read about it. I know this is a thing. And now it's hit my home, where I think he's almost saying like, there are probably a lot of people who maybe aren't gamblers themselves who are like, holy shit, my kid. And then if you also think about it from this, like these kids now all have these in-app games, which are essentially like soft versions of gambling. It's like, hey, get dad to give you 5 more of your Apple Store credit so you can level up your badge in this game. And to where I wonder if in a weird way, it's like a parent who is more naive might not see, or they'd be like, oh, that's just my kid playing with his app. I don't understand. He just needs a little bit of money for this thing. I guess I do wonder if there is more, it's just less normalized because it's more new compared to drugs and alcohol, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think it's right up there with drugs and alcohol. I don't know how we could like prove it.
But I guess I mean from the just like cultural awareness for like the average parent of like, say you have a sixth grader right now, like if you found out, like what would be like, I feel like, I guess what I'm trying to say is a parent would feel like they have more levers to pull or things they know they could do if they knew their kid was addicted to alcohol than if they were addicted to gambling.
I don't even know if I agree with that. Like, alcohol is easier to do, I would say. Like, I think as a parent, you could call DraftKings and FanDuel and be like, watch out for this kid. Here's his IPs. And they'll be like, yes, sir, we're going to look out for him. But, like, you can't go to every liquor store and all stuff like that. And bookies are, like, less and less frequently because it's legal now. Who needs them?
Right.
So I think you probably could shut down your kid from gambling pretty easily. And I think the vast majority of people know the issue I have a lot of issues with this stuff is just, it's having experience working at the Capitol. This is exactly a great issue for them to utilize because it's icky and no one wants to touch it. And you don't want to be on my side or what, if you want to call it my side, because you seem not, compassionate. You seem like a jerk, like, hey, bad things are happening to good people. Don't you want to do something about it? And it's like, everybody wants that. Every single person wants to stop bad things from happening to good people. So, but you know, you have to like do a throat clear like that before you go, but
yeah.
Don't you think that almost everyone's aware of this issue? It's obviously bad. It's commiserate based on the studies, which is my point that I was making to Captain Jack online, that the rates are about equal to a ton of other addictions. And I said this on Davis's podcast a while ago, like, and this is the part where you'll say it's, you know, you're not compassionate, but it's like, it's not as bad as crack. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, people will do a lot worse things for crack. And I'm sure there's a small percentage of that small percentage of addicted gamblers that will go out and rot, you know, stick up people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the mostly what happens is like what happened to Patel. You lose a bunch of money and you get caught. You know, the thing that happens is you lose money. You usually don't like hurt your body but like, of course, that does happen to a small percentage, and it's awful when it does happen to those people. But like, I feel like Bob and Jack and Rufus and anybody else who's like a popular gambler would they could spend their time however they want. I'm not protesting it. I just think it would be better to like protect gamblers and spend our time actually protecting professionals and about these laws that hurt people and limiting and all sorts of things like that. There should be a concerted effort for that. And like this other thing, the problem gambling, there's going to be the books want problem gambling to be a big issue. It helps them.
Yeah.
It helps them so they can mode off their competition through implementing more barriers of entry that upstarts can't pay for.
And showing legislators that they're the ones taking it serious and the upstarts aren't.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Which is why I think Jeremy from Underdog started that ID thing. I can't remember what it's called.
ID pair.
I think that's exactly the play he's doing is,
yeah,
we are a responsible gaming company. Look at the thing we started. It's a legislative play. Like, he doesn't want your guys fucking limiting info. I don't think he gives a shit about that. He's like thinking long-term about how to get Underdog in 50 states and with sports betting against these behemoths. So he's trying to flank them on the problem gambling issue. This is what I have no back information on this. I'm totally speculating here.
Yeah.
But like, that's like that. But I think that goes along with this type of thing is the more like popular gamblers talk like this, that it's like, this will ruin the country when we already have 50-100 years and multiple cultures of studies and legal gambling elsewhere that it didn't happen. And you know, if you like, listen, if you want to get rid of marketing, fine, get rid of marketing. I don't care if you want to say no credit cards, fine. I have no power here anyways. I'm just saying like, and if you wanted to even get rid of sports betting entirely, like that's like a moral stance you can actually make, a claim you can make. Like, maybe it is really bad for society. You know, I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying though, the way the studies show, it seems like it's about even with a lot of things we do not give a shit about.
Yeah. And there's the larger thing of how like society processes these things. Like, I feel like a good example is alcohol versus weed, where because so many people drink, so many parents drink, that it's like, oh, drinking isn't that big of a deal, but weed, man, because I don't smoke, like that's the crazy one. Even though the studies are probably weed isn't as bad for you, it's less detrimental than alcohol and how many deaths it results in. But because of the stigma that it somehow, that's why it's taken so long for it to get legalized everywhere, is because of that public stigma around it. I wonder like, where do you think gambling falls within that just societal stigma spectrum?
That's what kind of like sets me off. Well, first was like, the first thing I did was like, well, let's take 5 minutes and look at what the studies show. And these studies aren't very political, right? Because they were done before it was even legal, you know? So like, it's not like DraftKings sponsored it, you know, the study. Like Gatorade sponsors a lot of their own study, you know, that type of thing. So it has the stigma, just like you said. It's got the stigma side, but it's got the problem side, similar to like addictions of hobbies. Like you mentioned, like the video game ones. Like how many guys have probably ruined their lives from spending money on the little video games? Oh, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Like the video games where they, you know, you could spend like, you know, $15 every 5 minutes. I guarantee people have ruined their lives over that.
Well, yeah, it's Mookie says the sports video games all have a pretty inherent gambling system in their games in that they get you addicted and then you want to be the best at it or you want to play the next level. And then that requires a pay to play option. And a lot of times you are going and asking your parents for their credit card for this thing. And next thing you know, you've racked up all of these charges.
What's the difference? What's the difference if you spend your 10 grand that you saved up on, you know, FIFA, whatever, Ultimate Team cards, or, you know, Lego shit, you know, or whatever hobby you're into, or, you know, or 10 grand on sports betting. Cause you like what they would classify as problem gambling would be something like that. Somebody saved up $10,000. They spent it on sports gambling.
Yep.
You know, and then they can't pay their rent now. It's like, you could easily do that on tons of other things. And they do, like, it happens. So I think it's closer to the, I think it's like closer to that side of the addiction realm. Cause it's a spectrum, right? There's a big difference between a kleptomaniac and a person who's addicted to crack. Right. But you just put it all under this umbrella of addiction. And then it's like, which is why these lawyers tell their clients to use the demon angle. Cause there it works. And gambling is right there. So the stigma is going to be used against us.
Right.
And it's not going to help. I don't think it's going to help anyone. I don't think they're going to use, like, they're going to be benevolent all of a sudden. Right. Like what they would do is they'd lower the marketing. So like they would probably want to get rid of marketing because then that locks them in forever. Because then no one else can market and beat their sharehold on the market. It would be great for them.
Yeah.
Right. So like I think we would just be better spent advocating for players than participating in the like anti-gambling problem gambling arena. But again, that's just my opinion. And I don't care if you don't believe me or if you don't want to
financial advice,
not financial advice. Don't sue us. Don't dupe us.
For more incendiary takes, become a Davis Matic Take Cast patron. an hour or two, you can get the real unfiltered Brian takes. Copper in the chat, guy who works for one of my customers, has lost 38K this month at the local casino, been pulling it from his 401k. There, we also have Jal. Is this broadcasting live from Japan? There are concerns that Ohtani will be made an accomplice and receive a lifetime ban for trying to help his translator. What is the coverage like in the USA? You can recap or wind back. We went through what the most up-to-date reporting is. But I have a feeling, Brian, by the time we do this show next week, there will be a lot more on the Ohtani story.
Yeah, and I hope that doesn't happen, man. He's a great ball player. So he's bet with a bookie. Who cares?
As a casual, like as someone who doesn't follow baseball at all, like I think the Ohtani stuff, like just what he's done as a dual player is like probably the coolest thing that's happened to the sport. Like since one of the like OG home run races between like Sosa and McGuire, that was like the last time I cared about baseball.
And like top five athlete all time. Like, I don't even know, like he's up there. Can I just comment on Copper that you highlighted there? Again, too, I'm not denying the existence of problem gambling. It is real. It happens. My Allstate guy, it ruined his life over problem gambling. And he knows what I do for a living. And he like talks to me for hours, but like, he just loves hearing about it. Cause he still loves the idea of wanting to gamble. So like, it does happen. It's horrible when it happens. I laid out all my thoughts before, but just for the record, one last time, I don't want bad things to happen to good people.
No, and Copper's actually trying to deflect here. There are rumors in the Discord that he's out here auto-drafting the newest underdog tournament, rookies and sophomores tournament. Autoing that is just a true sign of a broken brain behavior there, Copper. So I'm not falling for this red herring you're trying to send us after.
You said something earlier, Pete, about feeling old, and I wanted to get a comment in, and I didn't get it in. I just drafted Frank Gore Jr. And so like, speaking of feeling old,
when you
draft, you know, Frank Gore Jr., who wasn't even that young, like I wasn't even that young when he first started playing.
His dad was playing up until like 2 years ago.
I know. Yeah. That will make you start feeling old. When we're drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. the third or something, you know?
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison the third, not Jr. the
third. And Frank Gore Jr., I believe that's a pretty big scroll down there for you too, right? A little scroll.
These 20 rounders, Pete. This 20 rounders. Too many rounds.
I'm aware. All right. This has been a classic Lulz episode. Find you a podcast that can start with Kate Middleton and finish with scrolling the F down for Frank Gore Junior. Hope your brass bracket isn't busted yet, bro. I wish I was going to get bombed and place responsible bets like Brian is about to do. So we'll get the audio up. I see Neil, it's like I would call BS. Neil says I would smoke weed if I could get a Lulz bong. I feel like that might be worth it from a content play. I do not believe my merch distributor makes bongs, but if I could get a Lulz decal slapped on a bong, ship it to Neil, and make him smoke weed for the first time on camera out of a Lulz bong, I think I could write that off as a business expense.
I don't think you want to go down the Cheech and Chong jail time here. That's what he got busted for. Pete's joking, just for the record. He's not going to do that.
That lady from The Athletic or Reef, they're already thinking about how the podcast Playing for Keeps only lasted 6 episodes. Neil Orfield found
downfall. His drug dealer, Peter Overset.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Enjoy your weekend. We're going to draft, I believe, over on Ship Chasing tonight, if that's the kind of content you're looking for. Otherwise, have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you guys next time on Lulz.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.